Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Today's fun episode of Life Design with Linda Sachs. I have a very free-spirited, trailblazing guest to share with you today. Her name is Jennifer, or as she's known, Jen Duchenne. Jen is a speaker, a radio show host, a new one as well, an author of two books, one called Le Chic Cocoon, and the other one I think is called Create Your Chic Cocoon, if I'm not mistaken. She is a chic lifestyle couturist and has more titles than you can ever know. Believe it or not, this woman is a wordsmith who makes up these own titles, and they just blow my brains. I've actually asked her to work for me to be able to come up with these just these creative things. She's just incredible. A little more about Jen. She guides exhausted people pleasers, of course, as I said, as she calls them, to express their voices authentically through the creation of personal sacred spaces and polite power rules. Now remember, these are all Jen's words. They're just amazing. She has been named in the top 20 interior design firms by San Jose Business Journal and has been featured in Home Builders Magazine. She has also been heard on numerous shows, including the Ed Till Show. Jen is from South Africa, native of South Africa, actually now residing in North California. She actually sent me a copy of her book when we first connected. I asked her to do that, the Chic Cocoon. And believe it or not, I was so captivated that I read it in two nights straight. And on the first night at 2 a.m., I actually got out of bed, put the book down, and cleaned out three drawers. Now, for me to be motivated to clean out three drawers, you need to know me. For anyone who does know me well, that's a really good laugh. I work so well on the right side of the brain. The left side of the brain is jam everything you can into that drawer and find the best organizer or the best person you know other than yourself to clean it out for you. But I actually cleaned out those drawers that night by myself, so Jen is a master. Being a lifelong learner, Jen has been through so many different jobs and different professions, but interior design really is her title. She is a graduate of UCLA through FIDER. She is a product of her own life experiences. She grew up in a home, as I said, in South Africa where entertaining was an everyday experience. So she grew up amongst beautiful things. Clients have called her an excellent listener, one who is highly creative with the ability to mix odd elements. I love this about her. Quoted, she believes that the way we live is more important than where we live. The quality and the style that we have comes from within, and that we need to surround ourselves with the people and the things that we love. That's just so basic, so primal, and so amazing. I've been told that Jen literally can walk into a home and move things around, things that you've already had, like a real feng shui, person would do, expert would do, in such a way that you feel that you're in a totally new space. Today I've asked Jen to give out some free tips on how to really do that for yourself, how to be able to begin to create your own cocoon. Now, I know Jen is just coming off her own show that started at 3 and it's an hour long. So I am hoping that Jen is in the queue. I'm going to just check and see. If she's not, I'll just keep on talking as I normally do until she calls in. So she's going from show to show. Anyhow, Jen, I'm told, is here. So I'm excited and I just can't wait to get it going. So I'm going to welcome her onto the show. Jen, hi.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fabulous. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. All right. So I don't know if you're going to have to go back and be able to listen to the little tidbits of what I said about you. Trust me when I tell you it's all good.
I trust you. I heard a little bit. It sounded good.
Well, I've told everyone you're a wordsmith, so I'm going to give you the floor. And first thing I'm going to say is thank you so much for being here. So excited. I actually went searching for your book today and couldn't find it. And I'm going to confess on the air the reason why. My room is upside down. I turned everything upside down, all my books and tapes and everything. If anyone could actually see the mess that I'm sitting in right here, I would literally call you into L.A. for 2 days and say, come fix it up for me. I need, but I don't have the bookshelf and I don't have the desk, so it's something I'm actually going out to try and buy. So what I really want to do is have you, first of all, just give us like enough of a background or backstory of you and your life and how you got into this fun, creative place with interior design. So let's start there.
All right, let's start there. How I got into it, well, I've always been interested in design. Since I was a young girl, I was moving furniture around. Actually, my mother did too, so we were kind of competing. She would move stuff, and I would move it, and she would move it. And I actually used to come home from school and didn't even know what room I'd be in or what it would look like. And yeah, and so I always loved it. I always wanted to do it. And finally, when I came to America, I did study design, interior design, and was very excited to do it. And I'm drawn to creative things. And I realized through the journey that I had never actually had a safe place of my own from when I was a kid. And that was really something that I longed for and really why I wrote my book. And part of my journey was finding that safe space, because I realized for many of us, you know, women, the good girl syndrome or being not being selfish, you know, always helping other people meant that we became invisible women, so we lost that place, you know, having that safe place we could go to.
Right.
And that's really what put me on the journey, was really feeling the connection with having a safe place and wanting to create it. And I also think that a lot of times life can be really difficult, but if we have a place that speaks to us wherever we are,
mm-hmm.
that makes a huge difference.
That's so true, other than the ocean, which is kind of what works for me. I'm trying to make my bedroom into the ocean. My living room has all the right color schemes for the ocean.
Love it.
I thought about that last night, and I said, wow, because knowing you were coming on the show, I was thinking, this is really interesting. Look, the painting's got that real aqua blue, and there's yellow and orange, and I was thinking, wow, you know, all these colors and brown and green, and it just brought me, like, to the whole seascape of the ocean, and all those colors came through, and I'm saying to myself, there is no accident that I ended up with aqua sofas that are velvet with nail heads. As a little girl, my mother would have never fallen for that. I lived in a beige and black home. Interesting that I had a mother who was very extremely stylish. So I think and loved to entertain. I think our backgrounds were similar, but I'm from Canada. My thing, Jen, interesting growing up, was that I felt that I could never measure up. That was the lie I told myself.
It's always good when we have lies we can tell ourselves, right?
You were competing. Helpful. I was surrendering. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you ended up at UCLA, after you were in UCLA, you took the conventional route, working in interior design?
Yes, I went to work in interior design, and then I had my daughter, and I just needed to find something that I could do that filled the time, you know.
Right.
So I did other stuff. I worked in accounting. But I always loved design, so I found a way. I actually was never a really good employee, so I figured the best way for me to survive was to start my own business.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Of course, when you become an entrepreneur, then everything else changes, because you really have to step into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Ask other people to trust you.
Oh, my goodness. Trust yourself, right? More than anything else.
Yeah,
learning
absolutely.
To love and trust yourself. That's a whole journey, too. Well, you're in a real creative space right now, and I absolutely am so captivated, not only by the titles you can come up with for yourself, but just being on your website and some of the research I've done with you, I would like the listeners to get some kind of a feeling or a sense for how and what it is that you do in your work where you are in situations where you step into a space, a personal woman's space. Sorry for any men listeners, and I know I have a lot of male listeners, male or female space, excuse me, and you walk in and you're able to just kind of do your, the thing you do. How do you do that?
Well, one thing that I do, you know, and there's the basics of it, and people can certainly go to my website right now. I have, it's still available, is one of the chapters from the book, which is the one about how to create your own shikakun in a day or less. So right. I put the tips in there. The thing is, what I do is, I believe that, you know, I think it was Wayne Dyer who said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Well,
right.
For me, that's how I look at a room. See, I don't look at the room the way most people look at it. Okay, I stuck my things, now it's so dreary.
Right.
I look at what is the potential of the room. Like, what are the things we can use that work? Like, many times people have a great view and they have the sofa against the window, so they don't see the view.
Right.
And I don't understand how to move things around. So for me, it's really easy. I look at stuff, I look at objects, and I see how they can be freed from their prison, because it's like they're a prison. You know, people put things against the wall. I often find people clutter up way too much stuff. It's like they think they have to put everything they own in one room, and that's absolutely not true. So the easiest way to do it is to just empty the room of everything and then restart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about rethinking color and proportion and shape and how everything kind of connects together. Because what's interesting is that people actually buy things that are very similar, but you don't see that usually because of the way they display it. Like, they don't know how to pull it together, and that's one of my gifts. I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you empty the room and then you rethink it, rethink how you want to use the space. So it's not just a room to fill up with furniture and objects, but it's a room that actually has to function. So what are the functions? Like, if there's a fireplace, do you use the fireplace? How many walls do you have? You know, you have to look at how do people walk in and out of the room. Like, there has to be a space that they can walk from one door to the other without walking through furniture. And how do you do that? And so it's like, sorry, go ahead.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know that I wanted to kind of distinguish, because I am so sure, knowing my listeners, that there are many that are out there listening thinking, is this feng shui? Is this not feng shui? I'm going to throw that one at you. By the way, the lines are open at 1-917-889-3818. Anyone that is courageous enough and has a question for Jen, please. Jump in at any time, Colleen. We do have a chat room that's always live, and Jen is available and can be found at www.jenniferduchenne.com. Do you want to spell your name, please?
J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R-D-U-C-H-E-N-E.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
Okay.
And so feng shui is not what I practice. So feng shui is a Chinese practice, but it's very similar to what I do. I mean, I don't say, okay, I'm doing feng shui, but the difference is, it's really about, I don't have a system that, you know, this is the Chinese, there's a system, right? Some people have a system. So I have my own system of understanding how you change space. You change the energy in a room by moving or shifting stuff. Because what happens is energy gets stuck in a room. So when you put furniture down, like many times people put furniture down when they move in and they never move it again.
Sometimes, what I wanted you to talk about. This is exactly where I wanted us to go. Please spend a little time on this, because we are all such creatures of this habit.
Oh, yes. So, you know, and that's the problem is, for many people, is they can't understand how it could be better. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You stick your furniture, you think, oh, it will be easy, I'll just line everything up against the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good to move stuff around, just because it moves the energy. And if you have anything in your room that you don't like, even if somebody gave it to you that you value, you really need to get rid of it. If it's broken, you know, it's bringing in
tip
everything.
Number one, tip number two, all you listeners that are out there, then please repeat it. Tip number one and tip number two.
Get rid of anything you don't like or that's broken. Because
exactly. The broken one is so huge. Can you please give a little bit of explanation of that? I know a lot of this stuff. I've read your book, and I have a mother who is very into decorative pieces, and also, like you, had the gift of knowing in objects of three and fives and how things had to be, you know, spaced, but I never really knew that. So please explain to people the energy that broken objects hold, the negative energy that they hold.
Every object contains energy. So especially when it's broken, it has negative energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that needs repair, and every time you walk past it, it impacts you physically,
how?
Mentally, emotionally. Because you look at that piece and think, oh, that's something I haven't done, right? That's something
mm-hmm.
that needs doing. So it keeps you in a negative place
mm-hmm.
instead of feeling good about your place. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because really, our homes or our chic cocoons, wherever
mm-hmm.
we are, this is a place we need to go to regenerate.
Exactly.
And if we don't have that place, if you're opening the door and the first thing you think is a negative thought, oh no, I'm back here,
mm-hmm.
then you know that something needs to be done in the room, and part of that is moving the things around and letting go of things that are broken, fixing
them. Tip number three.
Really.
Tip number three, letting go of things you no longer, I'm going to let you finish the sentence.
Yeah, things you no longer need.
There you go. Need. It's not a matter, listeners, of things that you necessarily no longer like or love or are holding on to for fear of not having enough money to buy a new one. If you really don't need them, right? If they're not serving your day-to-day purpose or your lifestyle, let them go. Someone else will probably need them a lot more than you will. And there is something about the good of the giving and receiving, right? And that energetic exchange as well. Other tips, Jen, please, because I know that there are so many people that I know that absolutely have stuff, like we say, stuff, and it just accumulates in their room. And this whole new thing, I'm going to bring this in now, about opening your windows and using sage and, you know, clearing the space, you know, other things that you can do just to be able to air out rooms when they just get energetically stuffy or after a relationship ends, like for a woman. Talk a little bit about this if you can, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, when a relationship is over or things are happening, if you can move the furniture, that's great. Maybe there's a piece somebody gave you, like from the relationship, that you don't want.
Right.
If you can get rid of that or maybe repaint it or move it to another room, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
maybe other things you can do. But really, those items hold energy that you're going to feel the resentment or whatever it was about the relationship. So it's always good to move even the small tables. I notice people have way too many tables. It really has to be your seating area and maybe having tables next to it where you
mm-hmm.
sit, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
that are accessible. But you don't need hundreds of tables. And this is true of objects as well. Excuse me. If you have, what you can do is take off all the art off the walls and then put them back up and group them, because you need white space. So you don't want to fill up every wall with stuff.
Very interesting. Tip number, wherever we are. Next big, huge tip. How many people put up a painting or something on the wall and they're so fearful that once they put it up, they're never moving it because they're thinking, I may hang it too high, too low, you know? Talk a little bit about that. What happens if you really don't know or don't have confidence that, or you think that there's a right way or a wrong way that these things should happen? Any advice?
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that you need to trust yourself. And
if you really
have a feeling about something, then follow your gut.
Love that.
Because it's your space, right?
It's beautiful.
Excuse me. It's your space, so you just need to embrace that and try things out, and don't be afraid of hanging something, and if it's the wrong place, you know, it's easy to fill up the hole. I know people worry about, oh, I put a hole in the wall, what am I going to do? It's really easy to close up the hole. You can add, you know, some of that speckle
mm-hmm.
and repaint it.
I put toothpaste when I first got married.
Anyone
that's listening?
Yes, toothpaste, that's a good one.
I know. Poor you, you need some water beside you. 2 hours of talking is a lot.
Yeah, I have
lot.
Water. Yeah.
Good.
That's
take
okay.
take a little sip. It is so true that the things that we think about, not having enough faith and confidence in ourselves, that's such a huge thing that I really wanted to, you know, come out of the show today and speaking with you and growing up in a family where I was surrounded by European antiques and European furniture. And I remember, and I still have a bit of that in me today. And when it comes to walking into a new space, what color do I paint these walls? I'm still thinking, I wish my mother was around so I could call her on the phone and ask her opinion. Ooh, ouch.
We look to other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
and
so
then,
interesting.
You know,
we think we need experts, but it is our, we're all forgetting that. It is our space.
Absolutely. Well, there is one thing about paint that it can be very tricky.
Okay.
I do agree that paint, you can absolutely hire somebody, you know, I do that all the time. You can hire somebody to do a paint consultation, and there's no harm in that. And, of course, if they're good, they're going to pull your stuff together, and they're not going to give you a color you hate.
Right.
But besides that, if you're fearful, if you don't have a good sense of color, that's fine as far as paint. But you can still pull a room together with your things and things you love, right? And find it in the accessories and in the rug and in the objects you love. In fact, if you run around your room and you pick out all the things, like go and pick out all the things you absolutely love and put them on your dining room table or somewhere.
Oh, that is a real... Okay, listeners, I'm going to do that tonight in my bedroom. There's not going to be a lot of stuff. That is fabulous. Oh, this is a wonderful one. Okay, once everything's on the dining room table, then what do we do with everything that's left in the room?
Well,
Goodwill.
Yeah, maybe
eBay and Craigslist don't give a lot today, let me tell you. You know, the resale on stuff is not great.
Yes, but that's a key thing there. Don't get locked into what the resale is, because your life is more valuable than the resale of objects.
Wow.
So it's like spending all that time worrying about, oh, well, I spent so much money on this. You probably got your money's worth out of it.
True.
And so it's not to say you get rid of everything that you don't love.
Okay.
It's that you just pick out the things you really love, and that will give you a clue to the color that you want to use and how you really want to, what kind of feel you want for your room.
You
and
just
then,
resolved my master bedroom issue, and I read your book in two nights. It's because
there
are really no personal pieces in this room that I love. I have massive bedroom furniture. I went out and bought, and this will be a good one to use me as an example. I sold everything when I moved from Montreal. You like me as well, but you moved even further. So when you're coming from another country, moving is expensive. What I did was I sold a lot of my furniture, and I always dreamed of having a four-poster bed. That was a big dream of mine. I wanted to be, you know, way up there. And I went and bought a four-poster bed with a dresser and two huge night tables, and it's massive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you buy sets, this is the problem with buying sets.
Talk to me about, talk about buying sets. This is what I got nailed in. I got nailed in. I'm not a set kind of person, but I allowed myself to do it for the very first time.
It's easy. It's easy to buy sets because it's like, okay, everything matches. I won't have to think about it.
Right.
So, like in your case, maybe you take the two side tables and you replace them with two round tables or one round table and something smaller that you can even go and pick up, like at the thrift store. Thrift stores have great small side tables.
I am making a trip to thrift store. Seems like all my friends are doing this lately, and my mother would have never wanted me to do this one, but look how our world has changed. Good point.
That's
another
right.
tip?
Yes. And then you could paint them or do something, stain them, however you want. The other thing is the same thing with the, you said you got a dresser or something like that?
Now my dresser is massive. It's got a marble top. You and I couldn't even pick that up. I need three movers to carry that.
Wow.
Maybe you can move it to
another room, you know. That's another thing. You maybe use that in your dining room. And if it's got a mirror, you can take the mirror off.
You can
use these in different ways. So like in the dining room, maybe you need something like that. And then in your bedroom, you find a smaller, daintier kind of, you know, you can even find something that's more like a desk or a really simple table, even a simple kitchen table, you know, maybe it's too big, but a narrow kind of table that looks pretty, and maybe you paint it. And so it's more feminine, and it feels more of your personality. And
there's
so
something about this that isn't feeling like it's totally me, and it's so interesting we're speaking right now because there's some personal family moves and some shifts, and there might be some opportunities open for some changes. So my little mind and my little brain is, like, starting to work now so creatively. It's so interesting, like, very often being in the space ourselves, we don't really see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
Yeah. And often, I mean, I've always lived in larger spaces. I'm now in a small space and have had one of my daughters come back to live with me transitionally while she makes a life transition. So we've now become roommates. So now my personal space has dwindled. I've given up a room, and now I have overflow of stuff. So there's that have an overabundance of space, right? Very often, okay, we can be in large homes and we find that we accumulate, or we can be in a very small little living space and we find that we're challenged. So I know as much as I would love to have this conversation, we could go on for hours. We have 5 minutes left, so I want to be conscious of the time. In a minute or two, can you address the issue of space, what happens when we're either cluttered, we have too much, you know, we have a lot of physical space, and we're not using it, or the reverse. We're challenged. We have less space, and our needs now are more. Where could
I think it's really the same thing in many ways, because for us, when we're in a big space, we don't think about it as being our space in terms of us, our body needing space. We just fill it all up with things.
Right. Yes.
So it's like we're negating ourselves by filling it all up. You know, and not being selective because, oh, I got so much space, I can just bring in more things.
So true.
And then when you do it in a small space and you have so many things, it's really a message. It's the same thing, except we get the message much louder when we're in a small space and we have overflow of things and we can't move or we feel restricted. It's that message there that's
that
really loud.
That self-love message once again?
Exactly, and releasing and letting go. You know, having things like, oh, I like this thing, or I'm attached to it, but we really don't need it in our lives anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the clarion call, that how we can let go and live in ease, because this is your space and this is your life. Are you in charge, or are your things in charge? You know,
this is so interesting. I don't know, listeners that are out there, if you've ever kind of, you know, looked at things this way. I wish we had more time in the 2 minutes that we have left, because, of course, you know, my show is at 30 minutes. These shows start off at 60, and we you know, narrowed them down to 30. So in the last minute before I do thank you for coming on the show, I think for all you listeners out there that are listening, it would be a great opportunity for you to look into, get onto Jennifer's website and take a peek, her totally refreshing way that she is able to describe how we need to really embrace ourselves, love ourselves, know what's working in our favor, what's not working in our favor, and make it all about us, and really cherishing the space and loving what surrounds us, which is not feng shui. I think it's a great place to start. It's a real mind shift, right, Jen?
Absolutely.
A real
mind
shift.
And one thing to
is amazing. Please share what you wanted to share, because I have one last question for you. We have 1 minute left, and then I have to thank you. What did you want to say?
I was just going to say that it's about your mindset. Do you have an abundant mindset, or the opposite?
That is so interesting. So then I was going to ask you what would be your takeaway, and I think that might be it, to be able to leave the listeners something that they can walk away with, is in my mindset. If there was anything in your career journey that you would go back and change or could change, is there anything?
Well, there's always things I could change, but my philosophy is I don't have I don't have the luxury of regret. You know, the only thing I can do for my past is to honor my present.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful that in the 10 seconds I have left, I love you. I can't wait to meet you. Am I going to meet you in 2 weeks in L.A.?
Yes.
Yay, I'm
going to
meet you at Woohoo.
Okay,
I cannot wait. We're going to spend the weekend together. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm sending you so much love, and all you listeners, have a wonderful week, and I will be back next Wednesday on Life Design with Linda Sachs. Much love. Bye, Jen.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Our pleasure. Bye.